from the record of Master Lin Ji. One day the Zen master came into the Dharma hall and said, "On this lump of red flesh is a real person of no position who comes in and out right before your face. Whoever has not seen that person should look carefully. Have a good look." At that point, a monk came up and asked, "What is that real person of no position?" The master stepped down from the meditation platform, took hold of the monk and said, "Speak, speak, what is that person with no position?" The monk was perplexed. The master let go of him and said, "The real person with no position is no more than dry shit on a stick." Having spoken, he went back to his room immediately. So here we are at the beginning of our coming and going Sesshin, our 3-week practice period. And all of us have come this evening from across town or across the ocean, come to be here to look into this great matter. The great matter of life and death. I do love our name for this Sesshin, this coming and going. It reminds me of the one of the ways the Buddha referred to himself as the Tathagata or the Tathagata, the one who is thus come and the one who is thus gone. Of course, this Buddha is no one other than you and me. All of us coming and going. All of us growing younger toward our death. We all find ourselves here on this green planet, this blue-green marble whirling in the vast depth of space. We look up and we see the sky, we walk outside and we feel the cold wind on our face. None of us know how we got here. We do not know where we are going. And so this wonderful tradition of Zen that has been handed down now through so many centuries is a way for us to look into this great mystery. And as Melissa said this morning and last night, Lin Ji is a 9th century Chinese Zen master. And is reputed to be the founder of the great Lin Ji school of Zen, or the Rinzai school. Rinzai and Soto are the two big branches of Zen, we might say, and often interpreted as two sectarian traditions. Two separate streams, but here in Boundless Way, we are inheritors of both streams. And in any approach to Zen, to awakening, of course, there are both sides. The Lin Ji stream, the Rinzai stream, tends to be more associated with a great intention, cutting through, not letting anything get in our way. And the Soto is often associated with a great allowing, appreciating nowhere to go, nothing to cut through. But we need both these aspects in our practice. Sometimes the great work is simply sitting upright in the middle of whatever is here. A moment after moment, just breathe in and breathe out, nowhere to go. And yet, at other times, so important to call ourselves forward, to remember how important and precious life is, and how strong is the current of delusion. How strong is the trance of everyday life, where we go from one worry to the next, one problem to the next. And our intention here to gather, to hunker down together, is to support each other to see deeply into this matter, and to do together what none of us can do by ourselves. So taking up this one of the brief sections, the record, the Linji Lu, as it's called in Chinese, is a short collection of the recorded sayings and encounters of Master Linji. And this is a record of one such encounter. Now, Linji lived in the 9th century. He died around 860. And the Linji Lu was not compiled in the form we now know it until the middle of the 12th century. So about 250 years after Linji actually lived. But there were fragments that appeared much earlier than that, and apparently in the Tang Dynasty in the 9th, 8th, and 9th century, monks would sometimes make personal records of what the teacher said. Linji himself did not write anything, but attracted some following in his time. And so these various sayings and records were passed down from generation to generation and eventually compiled. and so the we don't actually know Lin Chi's words, but yet we can hear the echo of them so many centuries later. So in this encounter, Linji comes into the Dharma hall and says, "On this lump of red flesh is a real person of no position who comes in and out right before your face." So this real person of no position, sometimes translated the true person of no rank. So this real person or true person, we might say the authentic person. So this is an encounter about this teaching and this teaching of true person of no position is one of Lin Chi's great teachings, one of the great his great invitations to us. So this person of no position or no rank is quite a mystery, because all of us in some way, to be a person means to occupy some position, to be a daughter or a son, a father, a mother, to be a person of this country or that country, to be tall or short. When we answer the question, who are you? We might give our name or our age. We might say what we do. We might describe our personality. Well, I'm a person like this, or I'm not a person like that. So these ideas of who we are quite important and quite useful. As I mentioned last night, my father now is quite old, 88 years old, and is beginning to lose his sense of who he is and where he is. He doesn't know what happened yesterday or what's going to happen in the next moment. And in one way, this is incredibly sad to see a vital and intelligent person almost melting away. Certainly not who he used to be. But on the other hand, in this melting away, and all of us will indeed melt away, at some point all of us will be called upon to give up everything we have. Not just our possessions, but our faculties, our memories. Someone asked me a few weeks ago why I started to practice Zen. And I thought back to my mid-20s when I first started practicing Zen, and realized that what first interested me in Zen was the realization that at some point I would die. For some reason at that age, I was concerned with somehow meeting my death with some kind of dignity. And it seemed to me to look deeply into the matter was one way to do this. And although we say Zen, this is the path of awakening, this is the path about living fully, it is also a path of dying. And because as we move into this moment, we find that as long as we hold on to who we think we are and how we think it should be, we cannot enter fully. The cost of entry into this moment is your opinion. And this opinion of yourself, of others, of the situation is something we hold on to so tightly. As we sit moment after moment, in some ways we do our best to give ourselves fully to this moment and to receive fully what this moment has to offer. So this death, of course, does not happen at some future moment. All of us are living and dying moment after moment. You are not even the person you were when you came into this meditation hall. You may think you are, but in fact, cells coming into being and being rubbed away, dying, being flushed away, this great fleshy body, this lump of red flesh is constantly churning, constantly living and dying, coming into being and fading away. Dogen once said that all of us are flashing in and out of existence 72,000 times a second, constantly living, dying, living, dying. And in our mind, we string the moments together and make a story out of it. But all of us know those moments where the story no longer holds. All of us, I think, have encountered some great tragedy or some great joy. Some moment where we are freed, we might say, from the story of ourself. Freed from birth and death, and in the moment there is only the vividness of our life. These moments are quite wonderful and quite terrible. And although all of us say we long for freedom, when spaciousness comes, when great love and spaciousness comes, most of us run for cover. We actually are quite attached to our limited view. Our first teacher used to talk, and I'm sure other teachers have, about decorating the prison cell. Inside the prison cell, we don't so much want to escape as we want to put pretty pictures up so it looks nice. But to step into our true life, to be a true person of no rank, requires great courage. And this true person of no position does not hold on to any idea of I am this, I am that. But rather enters into the moment, enters into the aliveness of what is happening. And while this sounds very dramatic, actually the potential is quite subtle and present with each breath. With each breath, the potential, the possibility, the invitation to be something beyond any of our ideas, beyond ideas of awakened and deluded, beyond ideas of free and captive. Into this space that can be so frightening when there seems to be no ground. But this space is actually human life. All life is beyond our control. We can try to control it. We can try to name who I am and where I'm going, but it never hits the mark. And ultimately, just exhausting. So this true person of no position, coming and going, the in-breath and the out-breath, sound, sight, sensations. Who is it that feels the warmth of the room? Who is it that hears the silence reverberating in the walls and the floor? Who is it that is breathing your breath, that is beating your heart? This effortless functioning of the true person of no position, appearing in whatever form is necessary, touched and being touched by the world. I was so touched by Steve's encouragement to us in our chant this afternoon to chant as a way of offering ourselves to the universe, to offer ourselves just as we are, and to then in the silence to receive the universe just as it is. And of course we can do no other than this. We are always offering ourselves just as we are, and we are always receiving this great vast mystery of life just as it is. And so the work is already accomplished. Our job is just to remember and to align with what is already here. This mysterious, true person of no position. Thank you. So now is the time for our Dharma dialogue. I invite you to sit comfortably, if that's possible for you at this time of the day. We'll invite questions or observations about this talk, about this matter, about practice.
Talking about like the dying and the choosing positions, that like for some reason the death almost brought like, I don't know, kind of made me like laugh or like smile. And I was kind of inquisitive. I was like, huh, I wonder, you know, like what's that kind of about? And it's just, I think like death is just such like a position you're given. You know, it's like this is gonna happen. This is you know, you don't have like a way to like back out of it or to think something different or to. It's like a very just like set thing, where like when we're doing this, when we're doing like especially like this practice, I find going all over the place in a million different directions, and you know, just having. You know, so something about it just seems so simple, you know, so simple in a way of where this seems so complex at times, seems like just this, like, mega puzzle. And that's just, like, a piece that you're given. That's a guaranteed little piece at the end. I don't know. So thank you for the talk, though.
Yeah. Well, it's quite a thing to have a relationship with our death. And although it's guaranteed. You said one thing about our thoughts about it, which actually we all have ideas about what death is or what it means that are based on no experience, right? And so we can think, oh my God, it's a terrible thing, I want to try to avoid it, or we can think, oh, it's really great, but there's some great mystery involved, and we might notice that sometimes we can be so sad about it, and other times we might even laugh, like, oh my gosh, it's quite a thing going on here. But just to notice all the ideas that come up about it, and to not get caught in any one fixed position around that. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
I know for a lot of people, you know, death is something to fear. And I can't say that, you know, I don't know how I'm going to be, you know. Hopefully I know it's coming, you know. Hopefully it's not something that comes out of left field. But, I heard a quote that goes, when I am, death is not. When death is, I am not. So it's kind of an irrational fear to fear death, because you're not going to be there for it.
Hmm. You sure? Well, and then in this other way, you know, I say, well, we don't know what death is, but yet all of us, you know, can look at pictures of ourselves 10 years ago or, you know, when we were kids and say, you know, or look, or our kids, you know, where did that little boy go? Where is he?
Thank you. I was waiting for my daughter at a place she volunteers, and I happened unconsciously or whatever to listen to the first Dharma talk of last year's coming and going. And it's really interesting. I suppose the odds were pretty high that they'd be similar, but in a way. But I really, it was just so, the layering has just been really interesting when you were talking about the different schools and that kind of simultaneous like spacious, not pressing, and alongside the more, and yet, maybe you could say, I'm being lazy, sorry, I'm saying and yet. And I just had this, I mean, the talk was on the Kanzan Sutra, that the one that's in this new liturgy, that's not new anymore so much. I just visualized when you were talking this, I really need time to look at my binoculars. I need the space to look at my binoculars. And it's, if I don't ever look at my binoculars to try and fix them again, that'll be what that is. But for some reason, all of a sudden, I just had this image of just having, really having like this weird courage that's probably going to make me cry, to actually set things up, maybe, that I could have the space to look at my binoculars, like, to not just feel like that more apathetic, whatever's happening is just happening. And because there was a reference in last year's to the conditions, that we set up the conditions to look deeply. And in the daily, it's harder because it's not so much I feel like I need to press, but I feel pressed, like I'm being pressed upon. Mm. And some of the things you were saying tonight are so lovely about that we are, things are constantly changing and we are constantly coming and going. And that nothing is static. And when I see that it is when I just... I'm picking up on the last year's thing. I don't know how to receive when I think that things are static. Mm. When my mind controls that. And so the change is actually very welcome, that things are constantly changing. And leading toward don't know.
Yeah. It's interesting how sometimes we can be afraid of change and, oh, I'm going to lose what I have, but there can be this wonderful comfort in it. Oh, so whatever comes is just temporary. Yeah. And I want to pick up too on this courage to take the time. You know, all of us taking the time this evening and thinking about these next 3 weeks. And it's quite something to take the time because we don't know what we're going to encounter. And yet we set out anyway for some unknown reason. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Yeah.
So, tonight, I guess I'm just really interested in, the ancestors. Here's Linji and a story. And I guess what arises is, so there's Soto and there's Rinzai, and just how that, how did they get separate? I don't know, it's just kind of interesting to me how some things from the ancestors just kind of, just dust up something and it's like, oh, let's look at that, I don't know. I'm just enjoying the line, I guess. But that line, the real person with no position is no more than dry excrement on a stick. I guess maybe to the point. Real person of no position. It sounds, like something to achieve. A real person of no position.
I think you're catching on to why he says it's dried excrement on a stick, right? Because when we hear these teachings at first, true person of no position. Everything comes and goes. Oh, so great. Yeah, that's great. And then this guy who's like kind of taken with it and says, well, tell me, what is it? And he can't say anything, and it's like, oh, you made a concept, man, that's like, worthless. Right? And on the other hand, dried shit on a stick, it's not such a bad thing. It's on a stick. It's on a stick.
Compared to what?
It's not just dried. It's on a stick.
Oh, I didn't think about
that.
It's
very special. But there's a lot, we could just give talk after talk on that one line. What? So I'm kind of with you, Aaron. I just love investigating these ancestors. And where did the split happen? And you can see it everywhere that people get together. After a little while, there's the people who hang the toilet paper on one way and people who hang it the other way, and then they form sects.
Oh, is that what the difference is between sects?
I'm pretty sure. I won't say which is which, though. Okay. That's for you to discover for yourself. But this is human. This is always... And I gave a talk earlier today about how we can relate to Lin Ji. He's so much like us in some ways. You know, there's so many different entry points. That's one of the things we were really excited about, I think, about this text. Even though we mostly focus on Soto teaching in Boundless Way, there's so much resonance with some of this stuff. You know, it's kind of wonderful. So, yeah, thank you.
Well, let's stop there for this evening.